today on Real Radio.
1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." Silly. Silly cross. Who needs the cross? Well, listen, it's silly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, the cross.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. It's a series of lessons on what we often call the essentials of the faith. Last week, we began a series within a series called You Need to Know, all about the gospel truth. Of course, the words gospel truth is a common phrase that a lot of folks use, but we're talking about the real gospel truth as found in the pages of God's written word, the Bible. Here's pastor and Bible teacher now, Jack Hibbs, with more in his mini-series called You Need to Know, all about the gospel truth.
Some of you who are legalists right now, legalistic, you haven't come to the cross. You're here right now, but you haven't come to the cross where you die. Where you come to the cross and there's no more of you left. When you come to that cross and you say, Jesus, I've sinned against you. And God, I come completely broken. I'm absolutely nothing and I need your grace. I need your... Listen, remember, it's called a gift, salvation is, people. Gift. How much do you have to pay to get a gift? That's right. It's nothing. The moment you pay for it, it ain't no longer a gift. Absolutely impossible. That what Jesus did on the cross, you could never do by good works or wishful thinking. You can't do it. Jesus went to the cross and died for us because we couldn't. Well, I said, let me define that. Listen, mankind was destined for the cross. And if mankind died on the cross, mankind would be dead. See, we had an appointment with the cross, as it were. Now, we live 2,000 years removed from the cross, but we could substitute that by saying, because of our sin, you and I have an appointment with the gallows or with the lethal injection or electric chair. Are you with me? Spiritually speaking, I'm talking about. The moment you die as a non-believer, you're dead. Oh, you're not just dead physically. You're spiritually dead, which is tragic when you read the Bible. That means you're fully alive, living an eternal death. It never ends. In the eternity of hell. Jesus came to set us free. That's why it's good news. J.C. Ryle, the ancient commentator, says, "The gospel of God's grace declares that God became a man through the virgin birth, that he, being sinless God and total man, died for our sins, satisfying his own justice by paying our debt to God. He was resurrected the third day, and all who trust in him are forgiven and their sins and are gifted with eternal life. Salvation is that simple and wonderful. Repentance from sin and acceptance of Christ, it is that simple, and it must be preached that simply." Jesus died in your place. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those of heaven and of those of earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Acts 4:12 goes on to say, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Ladies and gentlemen, you might be saying, "That is so narrow." And all God's people said, "Amen." Absolutely. Absolutely narrow. Well, you know, I believe in the broad, open, spaced process. Well, so does God. God says, broad is the way, and many are on that path that leads to eternal destruction. But narrow is the path, and few there be that find it, that leads to eternal life. Jesus is the only way. That's the good news. He died there. And for me to introduce to God, yes, Jesus died, but for me to be saved, I believe in that and then add to his blood all my good works. Do you understand that you and I come to God already tainted? How can you and I have good works when we're tainted to begin with? when God requires perfection? With all your good intentions, it's still tainted. If I had a glass of water right here, if I had a glass of Arrowhead water right out of the mountain, and I put 10 drops of liquid cyanide in that water, it's just as clear as the water, you know, you couldn't even see it. And I stirred it up, would you drink it? Oh, come on, where's your sense of adventure? How about if I put 8 drops, just 8 drops, not 10, but 8, would you drink it? Yes, I know 1 drop will kill you, but come on, what if only 3 drops in a glass of water? Would you drink it? What if I just put 1 drop in the water? You understand that? You say, well, I've kept some of the commandments. You have to understand something. You come to the commandments of God already tainted. God says, I love you, but I can't drink your water. You need new water. You need living water. You need my son. This is the gospel. It's power through Jesus Christ. Not your own efforts. Not your own pursuits. The gospel is the power of God. You say, how is the gospel empowered? Good question. Where does the gospel get its power? It gets its power, of course, through Christ. But listen, Jesus Christ has always been Jesus Christ. If you and I were saved just by the existence of Jesus Christ, then I ask you this question. Why did he go to the cross? You see, listen, something had to happen. It's called the atonement. The atonement, where someone dies in your place to pay the bill. How many of you have mortgages on your houses? Let me raise 2 hands here. Not that I have 2 houses. I have a mortgage that if I had to pay it off today, I couldn't do it. Are you in that? Will you raise 2 hands if that's you? Can you pay your mortgage off today? What if somebody stepped in this afternoon and said, hey, I heard that sermon today, and I know that you've got, I saw your 2 hands go up. That means you must, I mean, that must mean that you can't pay your mortgage off today if you had to pay it off today. I'll tell you what, I'll pay it off for you. Is that attractive to you?
Yes.
I'll pay it off for you, and I'll hand you the what's it called? See, I'm so far from paying mine off, I don't even know what it's called. What is it? What is it? The deed, the final? Some of you are saying the app? What? Whatever. I've got proof it's been paid for. Somebody paid it. Jesus did that. Listen, he's eternal God, but he had to come if you and I were going to be saved. He paid the debt. He stepped in and said, Father, I will pay the mortgage on their sin that they'll never be able to pay. I'll pay it. That's why both hands go up. That's why we worship him. Absolutely awesome. The power of the gospel is found in the cross. And that preaching and that teaching of the cross is what brings salvation to every one of our souls. Listen, you're not going to make it to heaven unless you embrace the doctrine of the cross, which is the power of Christ, the gospel that saves. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Silly. Silly cross. Who needs the cross? Well, listen, it's silly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, the cross. Romans chapter 1, verse 15 says, so as much as it is in me, says Paul, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. He was so excited to get to Rome. He had never been there before. Being a Jew who was a Roman citizen, now born again, he couldn't wait to get to Rome. Verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How come, Paul? You got beat up preaching that gospel? You got in all kinds of legal trouble preaching that gospel? You got stoned preaching that gospel in California? That's with rocks, not with drugs. He was stoned for preaching the gospel and almost killed. Some will argue, and I agree with that, he was actually physically stoned, and I believe when you read that account in Scripture, Paul did die. God raised him up, the guy got up, bleeding and all, and walked right back into the same city that was responsible for stoning him. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. That is awesome. The cross. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. Listen, I don't know if you know this or not. You probably do if you just think about it for about a half a second. You know the most famous form of jewelry worn in the world, globally in the world, is the cross. You know, people, they get blessed or upset when they see a cross on a mountaintop. Have you seen that? You know that. There's battles in our state where atheists want to remove crosses from military property and all. Or for that matter, private or public property. What's the deal? What are you upset about? Atheists, just look away. Don't look. God, we have to look at your face every day as an atheist. We don't gender up some law to ban your mug from the scene. We put up with you. We tolerate you. So tolerate the cross. They can't. Why? It's a cross. So what's with the cross? Yeah, they know it's more than jewelry. You can put diamonds on it. You can put gold, dip it, pearl coating. Still a cross. Isn't it amazing, though? All around the world, it's an international symbol of relief and of help and of deliverance. You can go to some parts of the world where the cross is not even allowed to be preached, but some of the mission hospitals in those countries have a cross on top of the hospital. And the people in need will gravitate to that hospital to get help, and they'll tolerate the cross because they've learned it's a symbol of deliverance and of hope and of comfort. Isn't that interesting? That's how we view it in one respect, yes. In some ways, I'm wondering if when you and I arrive to heaven, that the throne is somehow, imagine Jesus sitting atop the cross. Now that's a victory picture if there ever was one. But did you know the cross was a horrific symbol in the Roman world? Cicero, I read it this week, Cicero said that no Roman citizen should allow the picture in their mind of the cross. It is absolutely a disgrace. Cicero said that about the cross. And yet you find God on the cross. The cross. I have seen first century crosses in Israel. And I don't know, how do you think, do you think maybe they're sanded and maybe airbrushed? Do you think maybe they're, no, you know what, they took, these were trees, wood. There are all kinds of different shapes because the wood may be bent, the wood may be different types of a tree. Most of them, by the way, if not all of them, were reused over and over and over again. So they're blood-saturated, blood-stained, blood-dried crosses. I was shocked to see how stout and low they are. Did you know? Because in our minds, we see the cross, and it's like 20 feet above the ground, you know? Did you know they were crucified at almost face level with you? Did you know they had conversations with the crucified? Did you know in Israel and in the Roman world, dogs would come and eat the feet of those who were crucified? The blood would be dripping. The dogs would start licking the blood. Then they would start eating the feet. Did you know that? Remember, when Jesus was on the cross, he had a conversation with John and with Mary. Rome did that so everybody could see the brutality of the cross. And God comes to the cross and he hangs on the cross. Can I say it this way? At face level, so you would see what he was doing for you. There is no gospel without the cross. If you go to a church today that doesn't preach the cross, you did not go to church. It's the cross. Next, under this, what is the gospel? Why is it so important? Its application is by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter 3:8, the application of the gospel is by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." The Bible says it is the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ's body from the grave. Oh man, that's awesome. I'm going to give you two verses back to back. John 6, 44 and Galatians 4, 6. Write them down if you would. John 6, 44. Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day," the day of resurrection. Galatians goes on to say, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father," meaning this: if you today long and desire and want and find yourself thinking about all the time, God, your relationship with your Father, look at this verse. "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of a Son into your hearts." The proof of you being a Christian is that inside of you, the Holy Spirit in you, is the very one who prompts you to say to him, "Father, Abba," that's Hebrew, Abba. "Abba, Father." Not religiously, but because he is. Application: the Holy Spirit at work initiates you to even think about eternal things. Maybe you're not a Christian today, but you're here because you've been having things go on in your life and you're wondering, what's up? You're starting to think forever thoughts. Maybe you got a pink slip from the doctor or from your boss and you're shaken. And you're wondering, what's up? God's getting your attention. The Holy Spirit initiates that thought in your mind. Did you know that? He does that. I like what the old Puritans used to say. He's wooing you. The Holy Spirit is wooing. He won't bend your neck. You know, remember when we were growing up, you'd grab your neighbor or your buddy and you put him in a headlock and say, "I'm not going to let you go till you scream uncle," or whatever that thing. Remember, anybody? No? Well, the Holy Spirit's not going to do that, but the Holy Spirit's going to say, "Do you see what's going on in your life? Do you see what's happening? Is this how you want to end your life? Is this it for your life?" He's the one that puts the thought into your mind, what if eternity's for real? And you see a cross on a hillside or around somebody's mirror in traffic, and you go, "What's with that cross? What's it all about?" The Holy Spirit does that. He initiates it. The application of the Holy Spirit at work prompts you to talk to God. "God, are you there?" Have you noticed whenever there's a trauma in your life or in the world or an earthquake? You know, everybody gets religious for about 30 to 60 seconds, maybe up to 3-4 minutes in an earthquake. "Did you see the sunset on Thursday?" "Oh, did you hear the gasp of air from all of you a moment ago? Boy, if you missed it, you missed it. The sunset, first of all, what direction does the sun set? In the west. The biggest sunset was happening not in the west, in the east. Did you see it? It's online. People took pictures of it. I heard it was in the news. I pulled over. I freaked out. I was on my way home. I stopped and I'm like this, trying to call my family. "Look, look, 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 look." What happened? The sky in the east was absolutely almost blood red. And in front of that was, and look, you guys, I've been to Hawaii more times than I can count. I have family in Hawaii. What's Hawaii famous for? Rainbows. They have rainbows every day, many times during the course of the day. I ain't seen no rainbow in Hawaii like that rainbow here. What was it? It came out of the ground with all of its intensity and went back into the ground absolutely perfect with a blood red backdrop. I've never seen anything like it. And I looked at that and I remember thinking, "Lord, that looks like the end of the world." But there's a promise there. And it caused you to stop. And I wasn't the only one. People were getting out of their cars. I heard about people, coming out of stores and stuff, just standing in the parking lots, taking pictures. It stopped you for a moment. And I guarantee you, for a second, there are a whole lot of people maybe going, "Wow, what does that mean?" Or, "God?" You know, when we have an earthquake, everybody gets religious for about a minute and a half. You can be cussing up a storm, denying God. The earth shakes, and you go, "Oh, Lord, forgive me, God. Help me, God." And then you realize, you know, you didn't get swallowed up in the ground. And then it's back to your ways. Isn't that interesting? This, the Holy Spirit prompts us to think about God. And then also this, it's the Holy Spirit that calls you upward to think higher thoughts of God. Could this God who made it all save me? Think of that. And then next, mark it down if you would. The next thing is, why is the gospel so important? Is, listen, its centrality is matchless. The gospel was, is Jesus' mission. His earthly ministry began with him preaching the gospel. He said it would be preached. And the end of the world will conclude with the gospel, or the tribulation period. The centrality of the gospel is matchless. It's the ministry of God. Luke chapter 4, turn there in your Bibles if you would. Just go a little bit to the left. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Look at the magnitude and the importance of this. By the way, personally, this is, I believe, the outline or mandate for every true biblical church ministry in existence. So he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, by the way, if you know anything about Judaism and the synagogue, the attendant hands Jesus the book of Isaiah to the daily reading of Isaiah. Jesus did not turn to a portion of Isaiah. It was handed to him the daily reading. Did you read your daily Bible for today, for example? They had a day set. This was the day that they're all reading in synagogues all around the world, just as they do now today. Same thing. Okay, you with me? Watch this. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written. It was right there, the chapter reading of the day from Isaiah. Verse 18, he quotes, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to," what? "Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim," verse 19, "the acceptable year of the Lord," close quote. He could have kept reading. He stops. Then he closed the book, the Bible says, and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. That was unusual. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Why? This is strange. They knew who Jesus was. He had been there many times before. This was his custom. What's up? This is odd. Why is he stopping? And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Oh, mama. And if you keep reading, some people must have went right on. And some people must have had nearly a heart attack. The gospel is God's last word to mankind. Jesus says, at just the right Sabbath, just the right passage, God-ordained moment, "Today are these scriptures fulfilled in your hearing, in your eyes."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth. It's actually part of a mini-series that goes by that very title, and it's taken from Pastor Jack's collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. It's called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, did you know that you can easily find all of Pastor Jack's resources at reallifewithjackhibbs.org? reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's where you'll find all of Pastor Jack's books, the archived Real Radio programs, some archived Real Life with Jack Hibbs television programs, our Real Radio Book of the Month, personally selected by Pastor Jack, and a whole bunch of other things. The list goes on. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.